Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sportsbook. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary. It is a very special vacation car cast from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. This, of course, the great group Fountains of Wayne, and this song about quarterbacks and how when it all lines up just right, your quarterback has all kinds of time, which may have happened in the preseason as preseason week number one is in the books.
He's got all kinds of time. He's got all kinds of time. All kinds of time.
This is a really sweet song. I like it. It is also perfect for me, given that, well, I'm on vacation. And you might say, why are you podcasting on vacation? Take a vacation from your podcast. Aren't you the owner of the Zabecast? Yeah, I could. But since I'm not working my normal radio show, guess what I've got? That's right. All kinds of time. Jaden Daniels looked great. Jordan Love threw a bomb in his game. I believe J.J. McCarthy looked really good for the Vikings. Caleb Williams threw a pick, but it got called back by penalty. Made a couple of decent plays. In the preseason, your quarterback is going to have all kinds of time for a lot of different reasons. Wait till the real bullets start flying in September. All right, with all kinds of time, I figured I would call Andy Poley because there's three or four big things I want to talk about, and we are not here for a long time. We're here for a vacation good time. I've got ice cream that has to go be sourced tonight at the Harris Teeter because, I don't know, my wife is just not buying ice cream. She's like, I don't want to be tempted by it, and I respect that. I respect that. But you know Fat Daddy is going to get out there and nom, 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 steer his face onto some Americone dream with rainbow sprinkles. Of course, I had a healthy dinner tonight with the family. My brother-in-law, Todd, and his lovely wife, Yvonne, my sister-in-law, brought their uni pizza oven with them and made fresh uni pizzas. And holy shit, are they good! So yes, the ultimate fat guy dinner, pizza followed by ice cream. Please, I know how bad it is for me. I know this is why I'm easily 35 pounds overweight, but fuck it, I'm on vacation. Just cut me a break. Okay, let's go ahead and call Andy and see where he is at and what he is doing. The Olympics have wrapped up. Let's make sure this works like I want to. FaceTime audio. Okay, oh, there we go. All right. Why is it not coming through the system? Oh, by the way. There we go. All right.
Hello,
Andy. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing good. So you got back from Vermont, and you also went to the airport to pick up your daughter.
Correct. Well, I got back Saturday from Vermont.
Okay.
And, today I picked her up.
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. We got four big things I want to talk about. All right, and I think I listed these in my text to you. Steph and USA Hoops, the Aussie breakdancer, Dion's presser, and I want to talk to you about getting fired to my producer, Josh. Because I'm still processing it, coping with it. It sucks. It feels like a death in the family because this radio station, since I joined it 5+ years ago, has felt the closest to being like a family of any station I've been at. Part of the dynamic of being a new station, you know, and the vibe has always been very good. So he was one of the original guys that came over from a bank to get into radio. And, you know, you and I know the biz. It's nasty. I mean, banking is more stable, but it's boring as fuck. And Josh just was not going to be able to live that life. So anyway, we'll talk more about that in a sec. Let's start with USA basketball. They win the gold, yes, but it was way too close in their final two games to really strut too much. Where do we stand on our international dominance as a basketball nation?
Well, we're not as dominant as we once were, obviously. It's trending in the direction of not winning at some point, and maybe in the next Olympics when Victor Wembanyama may be the best player in basketball. And, you know, it's I don't think it's shocking what happened here. Steph Curry saved their bacon in the semifinals and the final, but this is the way world basketball has been going. I don't know why anybody would be shocked by this.
On the one hand, you say, well, look, we sent a fraction. We sent two-thirds of our best possible team. We had Derek effing White on the team, for God's sakes. We had Tyrese Halliburton, who pretty much stopped playing. They buried Jason Tatum for reasons that still nobody knows. Apparently Tatum's mom was demanding answers as to why her boy was not playing.
Yeah, you know what? This is maybe an indication that you have to take fewer players. Because
fewer.
Steve Kerr realized you can't play 12 players in a 40-minute game. You just can't do it, and somebody's going to be upset about it. And, yeah, you can say Tyrese Halliburton didn't play. You want to take a bigger name and not play him? You can only play so many players.
I give Halliburton credit. He did post a picture on Instagram with the line, he's holding up his gold medal, and the line was, when you get an A on a group project but didn't do nothing. I'm like, that's funny. Good for you, Ty Halliburton, for having a sense of humor and for keeping it real. That said, Andy, some would say, no, not bring fewer players. Fuck Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr did one of the worst coaching jobs that any Olympic coach has ever done and mismanaged all of his assets that were in play. I believe, and I think a lot of people believe, you could run most teams out of the gym if you ran your stars in waves at these guys defensively. And I tend to believe that. Even the teams like Croatia and or Serbia and France, which have a nice handful of NBA players, they've got a bunch of accountants and plumbers as well. Make them commit a gazillion turnovers. What do you buy?
Okay.
Do you buy that theory?
Not necessarily. Here's one problem I think that Kerr had. He's got to keep LeBron happy. And if you're going to run this waves theory and cut down his minutes and not have him in the game when the game needs to be won, the ego is massive. Now,
right.
I guess the good thing is, and he did play well in the tournament. You got to admit that. But he's
played a lot.
Close to 40, going to be 44 years old for the next one.
Yeah, well, whoa. Are you already putting him on the L.A. team in years?
I'm just saying. If he's on the team, he'll be 44, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I wouldn't be so sure. Now that you mention it, Andy, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. The games are in L.A.
Yeah,
do you think LeBron James, attention whore that he is going to willingly say, you know what, I've had enough? He's the first, is it four-time Olympic medalist or five-time? I forget. In basketball.
I think it's four.
Four,
I think it's
okay.
Four, but... you think he'll be in the NBA in 4 years? You think so?
At this point, I'm not betting against it.
Huh.
In some limited capacity. Look how long Brady played. Look how much longer Rodgers is trying to play.
Different sport. Different sport.
I
George
know it
planned
is.
To play till he was 48, you know.
That's a kicker, though. A different
position. Well, but at 43, he was the MVP of the league as he was a backup quarterback, kept pulling out games. So you never know.
Yeah. All right. So that said, what does a guy have to do to win the MVP of the Olympics? An award that, by the way, had gone away for a couple of cycles. It only got reintroduced as an award in Tokyo. And, oh, what a surprise, Andy. LeBron's your MVP. Motherfucking Steph Curry had 17 threes in the final two games and didn't win MVP. What in the fuck?
I also would say this, that's a stupid award for the Olympics, because if you're going to sell this team concept and all for country and
kumbaya,
making sacrifices.
Right.
Yeah, don't
you shouldn't
that.
Even have it. Right. But right. Am I, and many people said online, they're like, well, Clutch Sports once again made sure to keep LeBron happy.
Exactly. And I think that's what Kerr was dealing with. And that's why he played guys limited minutes and didn't play some guys at all in certain games.
Right. Meanwhile, the other part of this, and I want to root for and really enjoy our country's basketball team. They're the best in the world still, even with a coach mismanaging the talent and with one hand tied behind their back with guys not available or injured or just deciding not to play. But Kevin Durant sniping fans on Twitter is such a bad look. To channel Jerry Maguire from the great movie of the same name, when he told Rod Tidwell, his client, his receiver, Rod, that is not what inspires people. I want to say that to Kevin Durant.
And he should know better. He's been doing this a long time. He's 36 now, 37?
Right.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Well, ridiculous. Just, it You're just, above that.
And you know what? He's not wrong, but the internet is a bottomless pool of idiots and trolls and just 14-year-olds looking to get a retweet.
Of course.
And they're like, let me come at Kevin Durant to see if he can retweet me and argue with me. And then when he does, these kids giggle their ass off under their sheets at their slumber party going, I can't believe this.
Yeah. I mean, hasn't anybody had the discussion with him? Like, hey, you're Kevin Durant.
I know. I know. And, you know, there was a really good video of Jokic shaking hands with Anthony Edwards after they fell short against the Americans. And Jokic has that. Yeah. And Jokic has that big, infectious, stupid guy smile on his face. Ants is very dynamic. He's got a great smile, and they're bro hugging, and it's black and white. It's American. It's Croatia or Serbian. And I'm like, more of this, less of Durant on Twitter, because that's the stuff that inspires people to know that these guys are the best in the world. They play for millions and millions of dollars. They bitterly fight each other in the NBA playoffs. But at the end of an Olympic game where one team pretty much choked, they can still be like, all right, good game, man.
Yeah, I read a good editorial by Will Leach about that. Compared Jokic to Rocky, to others who have come up short and they are celebrated because they, you know, went the distance. And what he did, I guess he had two other NBA players on his team, but mostly they were, as he said, you know, balding electricians or something like that. And he carried them to the brink. I mean, they got outdone by the Americans in the fourth quarter, but what, were they up 13 at the end of three? Somewhere
right,
like that.
Right, right. Did you see Jokic on the team bus after they won bronze?
No, what'd he do?
They were singing like they were in high school again.
Yeah.
Well, it was fantastic to see. I'm going to try to play a snippet of it here to see if it'll come through on the audio. But yeah, I mean, it's just a different mentality. That's all. I've come to finally realize. Here you go. Hold on a second. He's on fire. You know, I've come to understand, Andy, how, you know, the movie Ricky Bobby, or Talladega Nights with Ricky Bobby, legend, yeah. Made legend of the phrase, second place is the first loser, right? If you're not first, you're last. And that is the American right. mindset. At right. the same That's time, what... at the same time, what I appreciate out of the Olympics is the gold, silver, bronze concept is such to say, look, all these athletes in whatever sport it is are the best in the world. They've poured their whole lives down the drain just to be good in one shining moment against the best of the best from around the world. Yes, we're going to give a gold for the best, but we're going to recognize at least the top three. And so while I'm against participation trophies in general, I appreciate that just getting on the medal stand is a win as well as winning gold.
Oh, yeah, and there are swimmers who celebrate the rest of their lives winning a bronze. Not everybody is Katie Ledecky. It doesn't work
right,
that way.
Right, because you can always say, I'm an Olympian. And when you say I'm an Olympian, it means...
No, not just an Olympian.
Olympic
medal winner.
Right, exactly.
Medal winner.
Right, that carries an extra cachet to it. But that's what's the best part of the Olympics. The worst part of the Olympics is how corrupt and shittily run they often are, depending on the host city. Paris apparently did a bad job, that the rooms that were stripped of air conditioning to begin with for the athletes with the cardboard boxes, Andy, were so hot that one gold medal swimmer was seen sleeping on a park bench outside because it was too fucking hot. They ended up, the Americans said, oh, no AC? Well, we're bringing our own. And then the Olympics in France said, okay, we're gonna hastily install air conditioning at the last minute. There was other things that didn't go well. They bribe all these cities to host the games, and there's a lot of shit that goes on that shouldn't. But the core essence of the competition, it got me again 4 years later, which it will in another 4 years.
Yeah, I heard Costa say that this really helped to bring the Olympics back. And the next ones are in Athens, I believe, and then
LA.
Yeah, but that's the next summer.
Oh, the Winter Games are in Athens, Greece?
I thought so, or I may be wrong about that. But
this would be the 2026 Winter Games because
Winter Games.
No, Cortina, Italy. Italy. And Cortina's had them before, I believe.
Right.
And I think it's a very good visual place. Remember, it's a TV show. So Cortina looks good on television, so that'll be good for the Olympics.
Now, also, when they build these venues for the Olympics, you know, they often wind up growing weeds on them a few years later. So
yes.
there's some discussion that they have, what about an Olympic rotation, kind of like
right.
the way they do the Super Bowl?
And I think they're starting that.
Which is probably going to make a lot of sense.
Yes,
yeah.
And I think they're starting that. Because really, there's only so many uses for a velodrome after the Olympics are over. Or a 90-meter ski jump hill after the Olympics are over.
That's how we wound up with the Washington Nationals. The Expos played at Montreal's Olympic Stadium, built in 76, and it became outdated, and they didn't have the money to replace it, so they came to Washington.
Yeah. Anyway, so the downside as well of the Olympics is some of these things they're letting in as sports are a complete farce, including the debut of competitive break dancing.
Yeah.
And the story of this woman from Australia, Raygun is her name. She's a B-girl, as they call them. B-girl for breakdancing, and she sucked. Scored a zero in her three matches against opponents, and had no shame about it because she's a PhD in cultural movement. So in other words, she's a pointy-headed academic type who couldn't really break dance, but the Australian delegation put her on the team anyway and are defending her now, even though she was a joke for the quote sport. What are your thoughts on Raygun?
Well, this is what we've had in the past with people like Eddie the Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle Edwards. At least he had to risk his neck doing what he did. She just got up there. Yeah, she just got up there and did the shittiest sprinkler dance you've ever seen. Yes, Jamaican bobsled team.
Okay. Yeah, all that. Yeah, so there've been others like that. I actually once talked to someone who didn't medal at the Olympics but competed. And he said that what you don't see in all the qualifying is these athletes from other countries who have like no shot. And he said, you know, in swimming, you shave your body down. He said he was sitting next to some guy from Egypt getting ready to qualify who had a long beard and hair all over his body. And he just got like so freaked out by that. I mean, he wasn't making
because he knew because he knew that he would not come close to meddling with all that hair.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a very good swimmer.
Yeah, the fact that he's in the race with this guy and what he had to do to qualify to get there as an American. So there's that.
Well, that's where you need to cherry pick your country, which some athletes do. They'll cherry pick their country. So I did watch while driving down here to the Outer Banks on the iPad, safely, by the way, while driving at the posted speed limits, Andy. I did watch some of the good break dancers. And I kind of laughed, and I didn't mind it being an Olympic sport because table tennis is an Olympic sport. Rhythmic gymnastics is an Olympic sport. Synchronized swimming is an Olympic sport. So why should I look down my nose at breakdancing?
I guess, you know, it's not a traditional, I mean, those sports you mentioned have been around a long time.
But table tennis is a basement game, Andy.
I understand.
If I'm not mistaken, it was invented by an American recreational company to be sold to Middle America as a basement game. Hey, it's
not
a miniature. Let me check this out. I don't know. Let me see who invented table tennis.
They're great at it.
Well, they're great at it.
And they play differently. They hold the paddle funky, you know.
They hold it like chopsticks. David Foster. David Foster, an Englishman credited with inventing a table tennis in 1890, based his game on lawn tennis, a popular outdoor game that could be played backwards. Yeah, there you go. It's a parlor table game. Now, those who play ping pong or table tennis at the highest level play it so well, it blows your mind, right?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So did you object to breakdancing in general or this woman being in the Olympics?
No, because it's happened before. This is kind of the way the Olympics work. And by the way, on table tennis, just to throw this in, you know, part of the Nixon diplomacy with China was table tennis. They brought table tennis teams over here to play.
Right.
So, you know, that was in many ways more important as a sport than others because it helped in various, you know, international, relations.
And if I recall, we had a player, Forrest Gump, who was really good at it. Do you remember that guy?
Yes. Well, that's a movie. But the Chinese table tennis team put on an exhibit. I wasn't at that high school. I wasn't at BCC yet. But a few years before I got there, they put on an exhibition there, and it was very, very much remembered when I got there.
There are some great characters, great viral moments, great comebacks. Track and field was absolute electric factory. A lot of American wins in track and field. Steph Curry was scintillating in basketball. He had the Turkish pistol shooter who finished second, and it inspired a celebration pose, Yusef Durkic or whatever his name is. I would agree that maybe because of the whole package, it was one of the best Olympics ever.
Yeah. No, it's got the momentum back because, that was the feeling like, is it going to outlive its usefulness? Are we going to have Olympics in the future? And I think this helped to save it.
But that said, there was one dominant American team that rolled through their opponents and almost got no run whatsoever, Andy. Who that could is? That have been? Oh, women's basketball.
Mm.
In fact, pause for a moment. I am about to agree with Stephen A. Smith 1,000%. I know. This is the one square of life where I'm like, fuck yeah, Stephen A. Preach it, brother. Here you go.
Lowest attendance of the Olympics. Far be it for me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Didn't I tell y'all? Where's everybody at now? It's about competition. It's about competition. It's about competition, right? 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 How does it feel, Team USA, to have six games, four of them drew over 20,000, and the one that did it still drew 2,000 more than you? That means that outside of the 2,000 more than you, for the Puerto Rico game, I think it's Serbia, right? Outside of that, the other games drew more than 6,000 fans compared to you. How does it feel? See, we want to act like marketing and business don't play a role in all of this. Have you ever been to the Olympics? Do you know they'll remove you from events if they have a sponsorship deal with Coca-Cola and you drinking a Pepsi? I would know. I've been to two of them. I covered the Olympics in Sydney, Australia in 2000. I covered it in Athens, Greece in 2004. I would know. I ain't been back since. Don't want to go back. I can't stand the Olympics. I'm not talking about the games. I'm not talking about the competition. I'm talking about the way the Olympics treats people, particularly the media. I can't stand it. You have no rights. Everything's so restrictive because you're doing business with everybody and you're milking every penny for all it's worth, every chance you get. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's why you should have had Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, because they are a draw. I never once said that Caitlin Clark should have been on the team ahead of the 12 people selected ahead of her because of basketball. I said marketing matters in everything. Promotion matters in everything. And you're not going to get around that. That is what I said.
That is sublime punishment for their pettiness, that they pretty much took the oxygen out of the TV coverage because they refused to put Caitlin Clark or Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on the team, which would have been a smart thing times two.
Yep, I agree. And they did. They did play France in the final. So that's a home game. Did
right. So even
the final?
Even with that, I think I'd have to check the numbers, but I'm taking Stephen A. at his word here that their attendance numbers were shit. And I know just from an anecdotal standpoint, you saw very little social media or other media coverage because they were just a dominant team full of players you don't know, that you don't care about. And if they had just brought Caitlin Clark, that would have...
Well, there were players that we knew about. We knew about Breanna Stewart. And
fine. There's some players you know about, but they've been known about for a while. This would have been a new young sensation that would have given shine to all the other players. Because she'd be passing them the ball for sizzling layups and open jumpers. God forbid you share the shine with a newbie who you say hasn't earned it yet. God bless America.
That was a mistake. It was a mistake.
Huge mistake. Who's getting fired for it at USA Basketball? Anybody? Nobody, probably, right? Yeah, they're going to say, well, we won the gold medal. That's what we expected. She'll have plenty of chances to be in the Olympics in the future, but we are very happy with our team. Huge missed opportunity.
Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/
Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Right. All right, on to the third topic. Deion Sanders at Colorado this year is going to be an e-ticket ride. E-ticket ride is an expression from back in the Disneyland days in which the e-ticket was the best ticket, and it could get you on all the rides, including the roller coasters. I believe that's the origin of the term. It's going to be a wild ride, good or bad. They say Colorado should be better, but they collapsed last year. Their O-line was trash. They've worked on fortifying that. Shedeur Sanders is going to be draft eligible and likely a top five pick if he doesn't get injured, knock on wood. But who knows how good they're going to be. But Deion is already showing he's lost his mind. The press conference he had recently where he wouldn't talk to anyone from CBS Sports because they printed an article claiming he was the second worst coach in the conference shows you he is off his rocker, Andy, right now.
Well, let me make this prediction. This is going to be his last year at Colorado. He's not staying. He's not building a program.
So where is he going?
He'll go somewhere else. And he says he's never going to go to the pros. You know, if the Dallas doesn't win, he may convince Jerry he's the guy. Look, he won at Jackson State, and all credit to him for that. But he raised a lot of money because he's Deion Sanders, and they were able to have better facilities and get better players. Comes to Colorado, okay, wins his opening game against TCU, which had played for the national championship the year before, but TCU is garbage, and he won four games. If he wins four games again this year, I don't think he's going to stay. All this talk, you better beat me now because I'm getting better. A lot of the guys that he brought in last year, they're gone. And he doesn't recruit high school players. He doesn't make any visits or anything like that. You know, he's Deion. He's always been about Deion. So I don't expect him to have a winning team this year.
Next guy. Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado. Tyler.
I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you, respect you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe, we got nothing to do with
you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
Coach Sean Keeler, the Denver Post. Happy summer, my man.
You don't like us, man. Why do you do this to yourself?
Come on.
You don't like us.
Mark likes me, by the way. Huh? Yeah. Mark said he likes me.
No,
so
but
that's
you
one.
You don't. Why do you that's do one. This, though?
No, sorry. Two-parter, if I could.
No, I'm serious. Why do you do this? Like, you know you don't. Like, why do you do this?
No, it's not about that. Football question. Football question.
Why do you do this? Like, it would be hard for me to really engage in someone I don't like or something I don't like. I'm just asking why. Like, why?
Gotta pay
what
the bills.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. It's not about that. But this is a football question.
I'm asking you why.
Yeah, you can ask. But that's
okay,
not
answer
your
me.
Because
yeah. You want me to answer you. So
yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Because I have
Give
questions.
Give me your why.
What's your why? What do you want to know?
Why do you always on attack? Like, what did we do?
Where am I on attack today? Where am I on attack?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you opportunities to be on attack. Well, but I'm asking you why. Like, what does it do for you? Like, what happened?
It's not about me.
But what happened to get you like this?
It's a good question.
No, I'm serious. Because I want to help. I'm serious. I want to help. Because it's not normal.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Can I ask you a football question?
No.
Seriously.
No, we'll talk about that. When we talk about that, I'll talk about that with you.
Can we ask you a football question, please?
When I talk about that, we talk about that. We can talk about that.
I have a question over here.
Let's go.
Right. I mean, it's just crazy to think that he is so thin-skinned that he can't take basic criticism. He's trying to build this program entirely on hype. And you say he's going to leave, and I think that's a fair bet. I don't know who's going to want to jump on the Deion experience if this year is a repeat disaster to last year. What are you signing on for if your coach starts to single out any reporter that is not fawning over your program and then won't talk to him? He'll be toxic if this thing goes really sideways.
Right, and I think he's already run through a few coordinators as well.
And there's reports of bullying on the team, drug use, weapons. The stuff that is not being reported yet because it's a little bit outside the bounds of being able to prove it are really, really bad.
Right, and he had this phony baloney school in Dallas.
Oh yeah,
that they shut down. I mean, look, he's a great self-promoter. He's funny. He does good commercials. But he this thing where, he's maybe the greatest coach in college football right now. No, he's not. He is not.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, writes, elsewhere during the press conference, it became clear that Deion responds well to those who fawn over him and that he keeps a wall in place for those who do not. The session included a strange exchange over the meaning of the word bolster and another one over the meaning of the word chemistry. There was also this bizarre pitch sparked by Alex Ramirez of Mile High Sports Radio. Quote, this is a non-football related question, Ramirez said. I recently had a medical condition about 2 months ago, and thank God I had Aflac. You're an ambassador for them, a spokesman for them. How important is it for everyone to have Aflac as a part of their life? It's amazing, right? Are you fucking kidding me? That,
you like that
actually
right?
happened.
Yeah.
Andy, you once were a Big J journalist working for the UPI, which is now extinct. That's how much of a Big J journalist you once were. You were at press conferences. You'll ask the hard question. You when we had on Randy Edsall, coach of the Terrapin football program, you started out by saying, Coach, I got to be up front with you. I've called for you to be fired. You did it because you felt it was journalistically ethical. Look at the fucking clown show going on right now where reporters are cutting Aflac promotions.
Right. Well, this is a sports radio guy who probably has a job where he likes to draw attention to himself. So that's what he's doing.
Wow. So how does this end for Deion this year? You think this is the last year? Do they make a bowl, which sounds like a laughably low bar because there's so many bowls, but many preseason analysis says Colorado is going to have a hard time making a bowl. They got a rough conference. They're in a rough conference.
Right. They're in a better conference. They got to win six games. They're not going to win six games, I don't think.
Especially with everyone fucking targeting him. And God forbid his son gets hurt. I really hope it doesn't happen. But they're completely shit out of water if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly got better offensive linemen in this year. But who knows? A lot of guys left. This is not a stable program. It's a mess.
Yeah. And you know who won Sportsman of the Year last year?
I know. That was ridiculous. They had to do that.
Of the sportsmanlike ethos.
Right. They had to do that early, make the decision early. You'll also note that 60 Minutes did two features on him last year. He does get eyeballs, but I think the act is wearing a little thin there.
All right, let's end on this. My producer got let go by the company that iHeart that I work for out of Milwaukee, 97.3 The Game. Josh Albrecht had been with me from day one. He came to the station, came to radio, wanting to be in radio from working a bank job. And he was very loyal to me and worked his ass off for me as producer. He had some, I would say, blind spots. You know, everyone has Madden ratings, right? We're not 99 in every category. Sure. Josh is not, he didn't come from the sports radio world, per se. Mm-hmm. And while he's a sports fan, he's not like you and I or someone else that's got encyclopedic sports knowledge. But I worked around that. And I really enjoyed both his sense of humor and the fact he's 34, and he balanced out my crusty 56-year-old ass, and we covered the target demo nicely between the two of us, right? And so there was areas that I could find that I did relate to him and interests that he had that overlapped with mine. And I got to play old Uncle Steve to say, sit on my lap and let me tell you the story about the time that Kekich swapped wives for the Yankees. What was his first name?
Mike Kekich.
Yeah, Mike Kekich, right? So,
and Fritz Peterson, they were the two.
Right. So just in the last year, we added Brian Butch, former basketball player at Wisconsin. And it definitely changed the dynamic of the show, but it gave us depth. And I liked having Butchie on because he's very easygoing. I still do. And he is from sports and knows sports. He plays kind of like a goofball, but he's smart. He just plays a little bit of a goofball in terms of what he likes. He doesn't watch a lot of pop culture stuff other than basketball. And he kind of has a grudge against the Packers, which I'm now digging in on, Andy. I'm like, well, you just hate the Packers. He's like, no, that's not true. I would go to Packer games as a kid. I remember the Kmart across the street that's now long gone. And I'm like, well, why are you so bitter about him? He's just so basketball. Butchie hates the fact, Andy, that football blocks the sun and blocks his sport, college hoops, until February now.
Yeah, it keeps shrinking the sport. And once they get to Super Bowl to President's Day weekend,
right. We'll
wake up in a Selection Sunday the next week.
It absolutely drives Butchie bonkers. And he'll try to say to me on the air, hey, you know, in November, you're like, hey, did you watch any of that Duke Michigan State, you know, Capital Classic game? And I'm like, nah, man, I'm watching football. I'm all about football right now. He's like, you sure you don't want to eat some of this? It's delicious. I'm like, no, I'm full of football. Right. But with the addition of Butchie, I thought we had gotten the chemistry. We had gotten the pH level of the show just right, because Butchie was able to fill in some of the sportsy stuff that Josh lacked. Josh, younger, more pop culture, a kind of a Marvel movie guy, loves to go to Disney with his wife. And then out of the blue, it's like, yeah, no, he's got to go. There were several other people let go at a small trimming of jobs. We all know that companies at times will lay off massive amounts of people and not think twice about it. The economy is not good. And I get it in that standpoint, but man, it just threw me for a loop. I'm like, why are we doing this now? The show's ratings have never been higher in the 5 years I've done it. It's a mature product that is knocking on the door of maybe being number one. Like, we're third in the market in the target demo. That's pretty fucking good. And, you know, I didn't bother to dig into the why and how and why now. And was there any other money you could have saved to save them? Because, you know, as well as I do, Andy, you start going for answers like that in radio, you're just going to get the runaround at best. And and at worst, if you're on the fucking bubble, they're going to be like, why is this asshole asking us questions? Get back in the cage, do more radio. So
yeah,
my thing to Josh, and I'm going to shut up and let you give your little piece of advice, having been laid off, fired, not renewed contracts multiple times, like any of us who've been in this biz a long time is, my only thing would be to just remember that you're taking their money, you're not stealing it, you're taking it for a job earnestly offered in return, for work earnestly offered, but you're taking their money, and it is their stage. And so therefore, you have to never forget those two things and just use that as your guide to everything. I'm not saying treat it as, quote, just a job. You should have passion for the product you're putting out there on the air. But at the end of the day, you're taking their money, and it's their stage. The floor is yours, yeah. Andy.
I used to work with a guy who used to say, it's their sandbox. They can do what they want.
Is that what they said? Who was that?
Oh, this guy, Bob Dahlgren, very older guy in Dallas. It's right. 40 years ago. But yeah, I saw the thing on Twitter and I sent him a message and I just said, you know, just keep plugging. And what happens in these things is when you least expect it, somebody's going to call you out of the blue and you're going to get another job. Now, I don't know whether he wants to stay in radio or not. And I really, you know, if I was his career advisor, I would tell him to
I told him 2 years ago, I said, get out. I said, you're young. You should be in the digital media creative space. Social media director, YouTube, videos, like that, because those jobs are more portable. There's more options. Yeah. The radio path is a narrow beam high above a cliff, and there's no net.
And it's shrinking. It's like it's a melting ice cube. But I was laid off at The Fan, similar situation to him. I guess his wife is expecting. I had a 2-month-old baby and a 6-month-old mortgage. And yeah. And
holy shit. You had a 6-month-old. So you just bought a house.
I owned a house and I had a baby and I had no job. I wound up going back to UPI where I'd come before. It was in New York. And I wound up staying at WFAN, eating my pride and as a freelancer, you know, doing weekend updates and stuff like that.
Right.
Made it work for a few years. And then the guy who was tasked with firing me, laying me off, called me out of the blue one day, said he had a radio station, couldn't tell me where it was. And I said, okay. And he said, you need to get a tape together for the program director or whatever. And then I get a call from my mother who says, oh, I hear there's going to be a radio station here in Washington. There's going to be all sports. And that was it. And so that launched 25 years. And
so who was that management guy that you chose not to tee off on in a screed and instead that enabled him to trust you and like you enough to go, hey, we had to lay Andy off, but we got this other station starting. He'd be a good fit for it. Who was that guy?
That was Scott Meyer, who actually had been laid off later on because the station was owned by Jeff Smullyan, who may be the only person in the history of baseball to lose money on a team. He owned the Mariners, lost money, and had to start, you know, cutting salaries in his other businesses, including radio. And so Meyer was laid off. And so when he got an opportunity to put this station together in Washington, which is now 980, he hired me. So,
I've found over the years, there is just a lot of swallowing of bullshit that you have to do in the biz. You and I...
Don't burn a bridge. Don't do it.
But you and I were doing really well in the afternoons on TEM, on 980. And then they decide they're going to change the lineup to put John Thompson's show in the afternoon and bump us to middays. So we packed up and did a midday shift for... I forget how long it was, and it went over so poorly, and the ratings tanked so badly, you even told management. You said, look, I got nothing against Coach Thompson. He's perfect in the middays for us, but if you do this, it's a disaster. They didn't listen to you.
Oh, I went to see the guy who was running the station's name, Dan Pugh, Dan Patrick's brother. Dave Pugh, right,
yes.
And I went to see him, and I think they made the move in, like, April or May or something like that.
Right.
And about halfway through the summer, I said to him, look, football season hasn't started yet. Most people don't know we've swapped. swap it back before it's too late. Oh, no, no, we need to see a lot more information. Well, they got their information, and they swapped us back.
Why did they change it? I forgot the reason why.
The reason was is that Kevin Grevey's sister-in-law came in.
Kevin Grevey is a former Washington Bullet player. White guy shooter, played for the Bucks back in the 70s. Great dude, by the way. I played golf with him a couple of years ago. Owned a restaurant that, is it still in business? Grevey's?
No, closed down.
Closed down.
It down a few years.
Right, but still, that's who Kevin Grevey is. Yes, so Kevin Grevey's sister.
Yeah, was an executive with the company, wherever the hell they were based. And she, John Thompson, national championship coach. And they had some woman who was doing sales, and they did the calculations, you know, like if we sell all this advertising based on his name, we'll make this amount of money. And you know, he didn't want to do, I think it was like a 3-hour show, but he didn't want to do 3 hours. So they repeated the first hour. I mean, everything about it was just ridiculous.
Right.
And we came back and reclaimed our old spot.
I know, but it was still, we had to swallow it because contract language was pretty good with my agent, but they can't block out, unless you've got real juice, a day part change. Stations always want to have the ability to move you to a different day part. So we fucking swallowed it and we moved on. I'll never forget the day that you found out you were not having your contract renewed. And it was a gut punch, even though you had kind of suspected it for quite a while, right?
Right.
But yeah,
was getting stonewalled, so I didn't think it was going to,
You came in right after our show. It was a Thursday, I believe, because we had one more show of that week. And you were just like, well, that's it. And, you know, you were a little bit on edge, but you were not completely distraught. You'd been thrown off the horse more than a few times. But, man, it still hurt me. Because I had my favorite times and best years and shows with you and our rotating third guest on the Sports Reporters. It was a fucking blast.
It was. It was great, but it's also economically not doable anymore in AM radio, especially. So it is what it is.
And then the guy that was the PD, who I won't name, but he cooked up what would be the new show, which was me, Al Galdi, who I love dearly, and Cooley. And I'm like, oh, boy, all right. And it was not great. Galdi did his best to run the show, but it wasn't the right mix. And we did it for a couple of years, and it didn't make any great impact. Part of the reason why they gassed you was because the Redskins own the station, and Bruce Allen, that discredited liar who stole money from Dan Snyder, basically, not in literal sense, but was making $7 million a year as a GM. Who the fuck makes $7 million a year as a GM in the NFL? He was like, well, Cooley's going to be on the radio. He's going to be doing our games on radio. He needs more experience, so let's get him an afternoon show. Right. And that fucked you, and fucked me, and fucked us.
They didn't care about the radio. They went out of their way not to promote it. They owned the station. They wouldn't put up a sign at FedEx Field for the station. They would say, "Oh, I never listened to it, but I hear all they do is slam the team." Well, you give us plenty of reason to do that, you dopes.
Yeah, yeah. I ate that shit though, and I just said, "Well, look, it's a paycheck, and under the old union rules with that job, we had a very generous severance. Yours even more generous than mine, and I'm like, I'm not walking away from this many weeks of severance, for God's sakes. So, so that kind of put me there, but it just, this stuff happens. And so, and I hope that, you know, it is a very tough time with the second child on the way for Josh and for his wife, Julie. Very stressful. He's also a warrior at heart. So there's that. But look, you got laid off with a brand new 2-month-old baby and a mortgage. I got fired after 1 month of a morning show in Charlotte where I had been made the man. Like, you're the best guy we got. We're going to give you the morning show. And I thought I had some wiggle room, you know. 1 month in, the GM, who was an ex-con, spent time in a halfway house for repeated DUIs in Massachusetts, escaped to North Carolina to sort of be like, yeah, you don't know me down here, right? Good guy, you know, when you're
things are going well, but not the most professional of guys. He just decides 1 month in, this is not working. I'm going to trump up a reason to fire the guy who moved here from Chicago, who I gave the morning show to, who just had a child, his first child. The fuck? So yeah, it's not the business to be in. Now, other businesses have bullshit management and stuff that's, you know, bad breaks and whatnot, but there's more lily pads as a frog, right, Andy, to hop from if you're not in radio. Radio has a very few number of lily pads, and it's often a long or impossible jump from one to the other.
And you often have to move, and, you know, sooner or later you reach a point where you can't.
I'm not fucking moving. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I was not going to uproot, not that I was even looking, but I was not going to uproot my kids who were in school. I'm not going to do that. Move someplace that might last a year or two. I know people do it. And I know in the Army, that's a way of life, but I didn't want it for them. So, you know, you suck it up and do what you can.
Yeah. So it sucks. I'm hurting for Josh personally, for him, for his situation. Yeah. It's now a much heavier lift for me. I mean, like I said, the pH of the show is going to be drastically changed. This kid who's going to do it now for us, Andrew, he's a good kid, and I think he's going to work out okay, but he brings a whole different dynamic to it. It's almost like we had a mature product in which there was a distinct lemon taste that people loved. I love the taste. The taste is going to be all different now. And so it's going to cause a certain amount of the audience to go, "Nah, I don't like this," and walk away. And there aren't enough new people that were on the sideline going, "I like that show, I just don't like Josh." And then they hear through the grapevine, "Oh, he's out. Now I'm going to start listening." There's one of those for every 10 who are going to leave. So it's an uphill, it's a heavy lift for me. I've got to reinvent the wheel and train up Andrew and all this right before football season. That's not going to be fun either. And it feels like a death in the family because everyone liked Josh. And it, more than just a death in the family, there's a small number of people that maybe think, did Zabe order him to get whacked? They're going to believe that, Andy. You know how it is.
I know.
People believe that you have more power than you do. And so I've got to tiptoe around all of this. And worst of all, I just have to have a lot of extra text exchanges with people who got to know me in the show. Isn't it sad? Yes, it's terrible. Blah, blah, blah. This is fucking, it's all a negative. But life will go on, you know? And they're coming for me next. They're coming for me next. They're coming for everybody at some point, right? The Turk taps us all on the shoulder and says, "Where's your playbook?"
Well, I'm 10 years older than you, so I have reached the point where if it's tomorrow,
you don't give a fuck. I know.
Or 3 years down the road, I don't care.
I know. You're the epitome of house money, and I love it for you because you live a very nicely frugal life.
Well, and I also have a very nice pension coming from SAG-AFTRA whenever I want it, and I've saved my money. So I'm doing what I do a 2-hour show, which I like to do. It's fine. It's fun. I'm done at 11 in the morning.
Yes.
And that's it for now. You know, it's okay. Yeah.
How was Vermont?
It was great.
Amazing,
go there
right?
Every year. Yeah, well, it's got a reservoir, did kayaking, did swimming, did a lot of hiking, had some great meals, cooked out. One of the people there is a cook, and he made beer can chicken. You ever had beer can chicken?
Wait. Yeah, but I mean, that's not exactly a fancy dish for a chef.
No, but when you're in outdoors and cooking for a large number of people.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, the flavor is just fantastic. I love it. I mean, I don't think I would do it. It's too much trouble, but he did it. It was excellent.
Well, that sounds great, Andy, but I didn't see one fucking photo from you after I asked. I did. Not
I got
one.
I'll
so you,
you
claim I went swimming, I went hiking, I went boating. I haven't seen a goddamn photo to prove it, man.
I will send it. It is a picture of us on the top of a mountain near Pico last week. So I do have that. As soon as we get off, I will text it to you.
All right, buddy. Thank you for your time tonight and going late as well. I know it's past your bedtime. We'll talk next week. All right, buddy.
Good luck.
Thank you. See you. Me.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.